Thank you very much. It's great to be back. Somebody asked me on the way in, I was looking at the Marmokomos beforehand and how are we going to put all the sources together, but hopefully we'll, with Siyata Deshmaya, we will be able to relate everything together. I'd like to talk about a topic that relates both. Is there a mic that I could walk around with a little bit? Or? They could hear me anyway? Sorry? I could hear with even though I walk around? Let's talk about a topic that relates both to the parshios that we are dealing with, parshas Bo, parshas B'Shalach, as well as the concept of Geula that we are getting into the parshios right now. We'll talk first a little bit Lundus, first 15-20 minutes, and then Bezrat Hashem, we'll get into the Machshava part of the shir. If you look at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, Yom Hashem al Yehoshua, Hashem tells Yehoshua, Hayom Galosi Yeshcherpas Mitzrayim Yalechem. Hashem tells Yehoshua, I have removed the cherpa of Egypt from you. I have given you a bris milah. This is the first time Klal Yisrael got bris milah after 40 years. Maybe Sheva Levi received bris milah in the desert, but Klal Yisrael did not. So all of Klal Yisrael received bris milah. And what happens? Why was it so crucial to all have bris milah right when they went to Eretz Yisrael? Because this was going to be the first carbon Pesach that they were going to bring in 40 years. And in order to eat the Karma Pesach, we know you need a bris milah. The Pesukim continue, V'nachnu b'nei Yisrael b'Gilgal, they encamped a few days after they went in on the 10th day of Nisan, V'yazros ha-Pesach b'arvos or yom la-chodesh, b'erev b'arvos yiricho. So they all brought the Karma Pesach, the 14th day of Nisan, a few days after they had just entered Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. Yochlo mi'avur ha'aretz, the psukim continue, mi'machoris ha'pesach, matzos, v'kali, v'etzavayim hazeh. They ate from the produce, mi'avur ha'aretz. They ate from the produce of the land. They came into Eretz Yisrael, imagine being in a desert for 40 years. There were no plants, there were no trees. They come into Eretz Yisrael, they start eating from the produce, wonderful. Then following day, they started eating from the produce. In other words, the second day of Pesach. V'yishvos ha'man mi'machoris v'achlo mi'avur ha'aretz. And the mon stopped as they started eating from the produce. Below Haya O Levnei Yisrael mon, says the pasuk, the mon ran out. By Yochlu b'tuah Eretz Kenan b'shana hahi, and they ate from the tuah that year. What exactly is the emphasis of the pasuk? They ate from the new produce. The mon ran out. So Rashi does the math. Rashi on that pasuk in the next source points out that we know the three nisan that occurred throughout the 40 years in the desert, one of them being the mon fell b'schus Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu died a month ago. Zayin Adar, now it's into Nisan. So what happened? So Rashi notes, the mon stopped falling on Zayin Adar a month ago. And yet, though the mon usually spoiled overnight, the last time the mon fell, the seventh day of Adar, it lasted for an entire month. It lasted, that was the final nes. The Makkah HaPatish of the Mon, it lasted for a month, so that is why right now they had to now start eating from the Tzua because they had no more food. The Mon ran out. That's what Rashi says in source number two. Yom HaNafas HaOmer, we'll get back to that in a second. Shekiva Omer Tzvilah. Umizayin Ba'adar Shemes Moshe Shepasa Kamon. From the seventh day of Adar a month ago when Moshe died, Hayu Mistafkin Ad Achshav. They had enough until now. Miman Shebeklayim Sheloktu B'Shiva Ba'adar. From Zayin Adar it lasted for an entire month and now it ran out and now they started eating from the new crop. But then Rashi notes there's a halachic reason, not just a practical reason, why the mon needed to last the entire month, all the way until the second day of Pesach. Why? So Rashi quotes the halacha that many are familiar with, Pasuk Yud Beis, L'fichach v'yochlo mi'avar ha'aretz, im haya lahem mon lo hayochlo min ha'tfua. If they still had the mon, they would have eaten from the mon, but they ran out of mon. Sha'mon hayinoach lahem, they'd rather have the mon. The Chida writes, the bracha on the mon they used to say was ha'motzi lechem min ha'shamayim. Now we say Amotzi Lechem in Aretz, but the bracha means the man Amotzi Lechem in Hashemayim, bread from heaven. But it ran out, so that's why they had to eat the tefua. I'm sorry, it's in the next source. What's the halachic reason that the man had to last? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, we're familiar with the halacha of Chadash, Chadash and Yashan. There's an isser to eat grains from the new crop that have taken root since last year Pesach until I bring the special carbon omer on the second day of Pesach.
That's the halacha. It's halacha even bizman hazeh, a topic of a separate shiur, which we're not going to go into. One of the mysteries of halacha, why it is that many of Klal Yisrael, many of us, don't observe yashan. Now we eat chadash, now Baruch Hashem, we live in a time period, every other pizza store says on it, yashan, Chol of Yisrael, everything we might want. But many of us eat Cheerios, Entenmann's, other types of grains that might be from chadash. Why that is not for now, there's a Bach, there's a Baal Shem Tov, but a separate topic. But either way, me'ikar hadin, one is not allowed to eat from the new grains. In other words, grain that has taken root since last year, Pesach, until this year, the second day of Pesach. Either I bring the carbon, bizman ha'mikdash, or at least the day passes. At least the day passes, bizman that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara in Kiddushin, where it's underlined, akrivo mevahada achol. That's why the man had to last all the way until the second day of Pesach, because the new grains in Eretz Yisrael had to be consumed by Klal Yisrael, but they weren't allowed to consume it until the second day of Pesach. So that is why the man lasted all the way, and then they were able to enjoy the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gemara, and that's the story in Sefer Yehoshua. Ask Tosfos a simple question, and this will be the first part of the shiur. Tosfos says, so what is the story? We weren't allowed to eat the new grains. There was an Isser of Chadash, the Isser of the new grains, until the second day of Pesach. Says Tosfos, quoting the Yerushalmi, the parallel Yerushalmi in Maseches Kiddushin, source number 4, the Yerushalmi Makshe, Lama lo achlu matzah mechadash, v'yavo asei de be'erev tochlu matzos, v'yitchalos asei de chadash. Why, asked Tosfos, quoting the Yerushalmi, did they have to wait until the second day, and there's no more Isser, so now I can eat from the new grain. 1 second. We know there's a principle in Halacha, beginning in Maseches Yevamis, Asei Doche Los Asei. If I have an Asei, I can push off the Los Asei. Right? Shatnez, there are many examples of this the Gemara gives. So why couldn't they eat from the produce, the new grains, the first night of Pesach? There's a mitzvah asei daraisa matzah. Let them eat matzah from the new grains. And we'll say asei dochalos asei. That's what Tosfos asks. Why'd they have to wait until the Isser disappeared? Why didn't they just consume the first night of Pesach? The mitzvah of matzah would be doche the los asei of chadash. That's Tosfos' question. What we're going to do is going to analyze Tosfos' two answers and then suggest a third answer from the Ar Sameach. Tosfos' first answer, well, even before that, it is interesting to note, which we'll get back to, the Bavli does not ask this question. It's a strong question, solid question. Why don't you say Asei Dechalos Asei? Only the Yerushalmi asks the question. The Bavli does not ask the question. Obviously, it's not bothered. Why is that? Something we'll get back to. Tosfos' first answer, back to source number 4. V'umitaret de'ein Asei Dekodem Hadibur Dechalos Asei Da'acharet. A mitzvah saseh that's given before the Torah was given, right? Matzah we had last week's parsha, yesterday's parsha, Perek Yud-Beis, Sefer Shmos, Parsha's bow. That's before we got the Torah. That saseh is not able to be docha the los saseh of chadash, which was given by Har Sinai. Ein saseh lefnei hadibur, docha los saseh la'achar hadibur. Seemingly, why? An saseh before Har Sinai seems to be somewhat weaker, right? It's not strong enough to be lo doche alos asei achar adibur. That's what I would have said. Right? Yes, for some reason, the asei lefnei adibur is weak. The achronim, though, wonder and ask on Tosfos, but that doesn't seem to be the case. There's a Gemara that seems to assume that an asei before Sinai is even stronger, not weaker. Says the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Yevamis, those who have learned the first 3-4 blot in the beginning of Maseches Yevamis do not talk about Yevamis. Talks about the sugya of asei docha los asei. So even though we're scared off by the first Mishnah, now that we have a few days of asei docha los asei, then we get back to Yevamos for the next 70 blocks. But that's the beginning of Yevamos. So on Daf Hei there, the Gemara, searching for a source for the principle of asei docha los asei, the Gemara says, how about from Miwa and Tamid? Can you learn the principle of asei docha los asei from there? And it's so strong, the context of the Gemara is to be docha even a los asei that has kares connected to it. Says the Gemara, no. You can't learn from those two. Why? Sheken yeshno, where it's underlined, lefnei hadibur. Those are aseis before Har Sinai. So there you might say asei docha los asei, but maybe not afterwards. In other words, the Gemara assumes that an asei before Har Sinai might be stronger than a asei after Har Sinai. So the Pnei Yeshua and other Achronim point out that when Tosfos says, again, Tosfos' original question, why don't we say the mitzvah of matzah should have been docha the los asay of chadash? Tosfos says, no, no, no. An asay before Har Sinai cannot be docha los asay after Har Sinai. So what does that seem to mean? Asay before Har Sinai is weaker. But the Gemara seems to say it's stronger. So what does Tosfos mean? That an asay before Har Sinai cannot be docha los asay after Har Sinai. So says the Pnei Yehoshua, Yeshua Falk, the great commentary who usually 95% of his sefer is interested in defending Rashi from Tosfos' kashas. It's fascinating. If you look at his Akdama, he writes why he wrote the sefer. He wrote that his grandfather, the Megini Shlomo, wrote a little sefer defending Rashi from Tosfos' questions. But the Pnei Yeshua writes there was a terrible fire in his city, and he lost many of his family members, and he's lying under a burning log. And he made a nether to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you save me, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to answering Tosfos' kashas on Rashi. And the very next second, the log was taken off, he was pulled out of the rubble, and he got out free. That's why we have a Pnei Yeshua. That's why he writes in his Akdama. We have a Pnei Yeshua, and he dedicated the rest of his life to answering Tosfos' kashas on Rashi. Here he's not. There's 5% of the Sefer that he just says his own Chidushim. Shad in Tosfos. See here too. Says the Pnei Yeshua in source number 6. What does Tosfos mean? That the asay before Har Sinai won't be double the loss asay after Har Sinai? It's not a question of weaker or stronger. It's a question of different. What do you mean different? Says the Pnei Yeshua, Ulanias Daiti, source number 6. Hatamavur. Dekivan de mukta mamuchar batorah. V'chol kvali asay v'los asay nemru b'sinai. Imkain, here we go. Kol hecha dechsiv ha'asay stam. Mashma da afilu b'makam dika los asay. Afilu achi yikayim ha'asay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. If he tells us to do a mitzvah without any limitations, without any specific details, so before we can assume, do the mitzvah no matter what. You could violate a los asay also along the way, but I gave the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, do the mitzvah. I know there's a los asay, but I'm telling you to do the mitzvah. So as long as we have an asay without any specifics, and we know there's a los asay accompanying, we can assume, says the Pnei Yeshua, the asay can push off the los asay. Hashem didn't say otherwise. He gave us the asays. He gave us the los asays. So you can say asay docha los asay. But says the Pnei Yeshua, if when the asay was given, there was no los asay existence, it came up later. So then how are we supposed to assume? Hashem wants us to do this asay, even though you're going to violate the los asay. No, you could only say that principle if the asay and the los asay both exist. Hashem says, do the asay without giving any limitations. So you can assume he means, he, capital H, that do it even though there's a los asay. But says the Pnei Yeshua, if the asay was given before Har Sinai, and the los asay was given later, then how do you know asay docha los asay? Maybe Hashem gave the asay at a time when there was no los asay. But if there would be a los asay, we wouldn't say asay docha los asay. After all, which many Rishonim point out, los asays are usually stronger. Right? If we violate a los asay, we get malchus. If we don't do an asay, it's terrible. But there's no onesh. It's just a lost opportunity. So the idea of asay docha los asay is a chiddush, but says the Pnei Yeshua, if the asay and the los asay both exist, fine. End of line 2. Masha'en ken hacha. Unlike here, the asay to the erev tofu matzos. Regarding the mitzvah of eating matzah, shenemar b'mitzrayim, diakati lo avi nogis or chadash. There was no sechadash until after Har Sinai. That's what Tosfos means. The asay before Har Sinai cannot be done with the los asay after, not because it's stronger or weaker, but because it's different. We cannot assume the asay negates the los asay unless the los asay exists when the asay was given. That's answer number 1 of Tosfos to the question. Answer number 2. Back to source number 4. Again, question is, Tosfos is this isn't just a kasha on a Rashi. This is a kasha on a story in Tanakh. Pretty strong kasha. Why couldn't they eat the produce from Eretz Canaan right away? And say, why do they have to wait till after the second day of Pesach? Let the mitzvah of matzah be docha nisra of chadash. Answer number 2 says Tosfos. Inami, back to source 4. Yesh lomar, de gezeira kzayis rishon, atu kzayis sheni. Mida oraisa, you're right. Mida oraisa, the first kzayis of matzah, would have been docha the isra of chadash. But you know what? We would have been pretty hungry that night. You know, traveling through the desert, and, you know, getting to the mitzvah, we probably would have eaten more than a kazayis. Even according to the largest shiurim that we might have had. No, we probably would have eaten more than a kazayis. Says Tosfos. The first kazayis, fine, that would be dough for the Isra of Chadash. What about the second kazayis? You're eating to the mitzvah by the first kazayis. You're eating a second kazayis? That you're eating, there's no kiyama mitzvah there. So because we're worried, because Yehoshua ben Nun was worried, that Klai Yisrael would have eaten more than a kazayis, so that's why he couldn't have let them even eat the first kazayis. That's Tosfos' second answer. But as we will see right now, that's also a chiddush. It also requires elaboration, and many Rishonim might not have agreed to this. Why? Let me ask a question. The second kazayis that we eat the Seder night, there's no mitzvah there? My first kazayis, I'm yotzei a mitzvah. The second kazayis, there's no mitzvah? Let me ask a similar question the Netziv asks. The Netziv says, there's a four-way machlokas Rishonim. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema every day. Daraisa. Which part of Kriya Shema is Daraisa? Four shitas in the Rishonim. Whatever I say is correct. First pasuk, first parsha, second parsha, third parsha. Four shitas in the Rishonim. So let's say according to the Ramban says the first pasuk. So when I'm saying the first parsha, I am no longer doing a mitzvah. No longer. The mitzvah's finished. The first pasuk was the mitzvah, and after that is extra. It's fluff. The rabbis added on some extra statements. Says the Netziv and other achronim, we find many times that even though the Torah demands only a minimal performance of a mitzvah, but once we expand it, then the whole action takes the form of a mitzvah d'oraisa. So says the Netziv, uses this to explain an answer, even if the Ramban tells us that the first pasuk is d'oraisa and that's it, but you know what? When I say the entire Shema is classified as a mitzvah d'oraisa. And you find that many times, even by matzah. Let's read a Rambam together. Says the Rambam, a beautiful diuk, we'll skip the Rav Elchanan now, says the Rambam in source number 8. A beautiful diuk by Rav Sternbach and others. Mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah le'echol matzah b'lam chamisha asar. There's a mitzvah from the Torah to eat matzah. Eat matzah. Wherever you are, matzah is not a mitzvah hatuya ba'aretz. Wherever we are, I have to eat the matzah. V'lo tolach ilo zuba karen Pesach. And it's not connected to Pesach like the mitzvah of Maror is. Maror is only to Rabbanan today. Elezu mitzvah b'fnei atzma u'mitzvah sakal ha'layla. Okay, the mitzvah is for the night. Avo v'shar ha'regel. The rest of Yantif, after the first night. Achilas matzah reshus. It's voluntary. Ratza ochel matzah, ratza ochel orez. Dochen, you want to eat orez, right, for those svardim here. O dochen, o klayos. They say the joke. You want to eat rice on Pesach? You got to say slichas the whole month. Okay. Says, I don't know, I think most of us would say Ashkenazim got the better deal. Says, continuing the Rambam, so the rest of Pesach, you eat whatever you want. Aval, bilel chamisha aser bilvad chova. But the 15th, and not the 15th, you got to eat it. Umishaacha kezayis yotzi dechavasa. And once you eat a kezayis, yotzi your chiv. Says Rav Sternbach, very interesting. What does the Rambam say? If we focus on the first line and the last line, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Last line, once you eat a kezayis, you're yotzi your chiv. Couldn't the Rambam have just said, there's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis of matzah on the night of Pesach? Wouldn't that be smoother? It's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and once you eat a kezayis, you're yotzi, it's enough. What do you mean it's a mitzvah to eat matzah? And then it's enough. Just say it's to eat kezayis and matzah. What impression do you get? Says Rav Sternbach. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Period. Whatever you eat is part of the mitzvah. If I eat matzah during my meal at the Seder, that's not part of the mitzvah. It is. Everything you eat, there's a minimum requirement. You gotta eat a kezayis. But what's the Rambam's fundamental? What's the mitzvah? Mitzvah to eat matzah tonight. The last line, by the way, eating kezayis, that's enough. But that's the minimum. But everything I eat becomes part of the mitzvah. Writes Rav Sternbach in Source 9, in Mo'adim Uzmanim, quoting this Rambam, Hare kishavir lechadkila ikar mitzvah achilas matzah b'lel chamisha asar. When the Rambam explains the mitzvah, lo kirish your kezayis. He doesn't say kezayis and that's it. Mashma, to bechol masha ocha b'lal seder b'kayim mitzvah zaseh. whatever you eat, at least a kazayis, but whatever you eat. In other words, if there is a mitzvah to do, and the Torah demands a minimal amount, but whatever I do is included in the mitzvah. So that is not what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos holds, why do you say, the halos say, you might eat a second kazayis. What's the assumption of Tosfos? That second kazayis will not be a mitzvah. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to say Hazidok halos say. So just to point out, that Chiddush of Tosfos is not exactly clear and might not be included, agreed upon by other Rishon. Okay. So that's the first two answers of Tosfos. Why don't we say Hazidok halos say? Either I say Lefnei HaDibur or the Gzeira D'Rabban. But now there's a third answer. And with this we'll finish up the first part of the shiur. A third answer from the Arsameach of Meir Simcha. He is bothered, why didn't the Bavli ask this question? Such a strong kasha. Why didn't the Bavli ask it? Only the Yerushalmi? What's the fundamental machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? Says the Gemara in Pesachim, source 11. Amar Rebbe Abba. Kol makom shenemar lo ye'achel lo socha lo sochlu echad isur achilav echad isur hanach. Says Rabbi Abahu, whenever the Torah says don't eat, it really means don't get benefit. Not just don't eat, it means don't get benefit. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Whatever the lashon is, it automatically means don't get benefit from it, unless the Torah goes out of its way to say you're allowed to eat. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Abahu. In the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Pesach. Learned it out from Nevi'im. So the Gemara then goes on a three-block tangent. Every time the Torah says, don't eat, does it really mean don't get benefit from it? It says not to eat it. Why would I think? Rabbi Yehoshua says it's automatic. Don't eat it, it automatically means don't get benefit from it, unless the Torah goes out of its way. So we have many things that you're not allowed to eat in the Torah, but you're allowed to get benefit from it. Nevela is one example. Chadash, we'll see, is another example. Right? Many examples. So the Gemara has to go through each one. Where is that Hector in the Torah that you're allowed to get benefit from? So one of those is Chadash. Says the Gemara on the next plot, source number 12. How could you, Rabbi Yavo, say that every Isser Achila automatically becomes an Isser Hana'ah, Bahari Chadash? Isser of Chadash, as we said, the new crops. Derachmana, Amar Lechem Akoli B'Karmel. Lo Sof Lares Amayam Azeh, Parshas Emor. The Torah says, don't eat it. And we know you're allowed to get benefit from Chadash. It's not Kotzer L'Shachas. You're allowed to give it to your animal. So I, according to Rabbi Yavo, doesn't it say you can't eat Chadash? Why doesn't that automatically translate into an Isser Hana'ah? Amar of Shmaya, Shiny Hasam. Da Amar Krakit Sirchem. Special Tiras HaKasav. Special Pasuk. Chadash is yours. You can get benefit from it. Special Tiras HaKasav. That's the Gemara. The Yerushalmi in the parallel Gemara, source 13, asks the same question. What does Rabbi Abahu do with Chadash? It says don't eat it. You're allowed to get benefit from it. The Yerushalmi gives a Svara. Doesn't quote a Pasuk. What's the Svara? Shanya, end of 13. Shanihi Shekava HaKasub Zman. It's different because the Pasuk told us, limited it, it's an Isser Zman, meaning it's going to be Mutter. It's only a temporary Isser. After the second day of Pesach, it's going to be Mutter. So that's why Rabbi Avoh's principle doesn't apply. Rabbi Avoh's principle only applies by permanent Isser, and not by temporary Isser. But the Bavli had to give a Pasuk. The Bavli didn't say this. What's the machlokas between the Bavli and Yerushalmi? Says the Ar Sameach, and this is going to bring both Bavli and Yerushalmis together. What's the svara of Rabbi Abahu? Asks the Yerushalmi. Why would you say, every time it says don't eat it, it automatically means don't get benefit from it? Why would you say such a thing? Says the Ar Sameach in source 14, 15, we're not going to read everything to save time. Says the Ar Sameach, the Yerushalmi understood Rabbi Abahu that if you automatically, Rabbi Yavo says, every time you have an Isser, Chefza, an Isser on the object, that's going to automatically jump from an Isser Achila to an Isser Hana. In other words, there are two types of Isserim, says the Ar Sameach. I should have said this first. Isser Gavra, an Isser on the person, I can't eat something, and Isser Chefzer. The Briskers made these two words famous. Right? Even though Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen once noted in a shir, on Rabbi Chaim's Kever, it says two words, not Gavra Chefzer. Ish Chesed. That's what he said. See, even they might have said that in the Beis Medrash, that wasn't who he was. Says the Arsameach, there are two types of Isurim in the world. Isser Gavra on me, Isser Chefza on the object. This object should not be eaten. Says the Arsameach, Rabbi Yavahu, the Yerushalmi understood Rabbi Yavahu. Why would Rabbi Yavahu say automatically that the Isser of eating becomes Isser Hana'ah? Because that's an Isser Chefza. This is poison to my Neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to get close to it. Not only can I not eat it, I can't get benefit from it. That's the svara of Rabbi Yavahu. That every Isser Chefza that there is in the world should be something that I totally stay away from. That's the svara of Rabbi Yavahu. So the Gemara asks, what about Chadash? Isn't Chadash, shouldn't that be automatic? The assumption being of the question that Chadash is an Isser Chefza answers the Yerushalmi, it's a temporary Isser. Poison never becomes unpoisoned. The fact that it's a temporary Isser, the Yerushalmi understands, and therefore it must be an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chefza. And that's the svara the Yerushalmi hears. Chadash! Isn't it Isser? Is it Isser Chefza? Answer the Yerushalmi, no, it's an Isser Gavra. Because it's temporary, it must be that you do not say Rabbi Yavahu's din because it's an Isser Gavra. That's the svara of the Yerushalmi. Because it's a temporary Isser, it must be an Isser Gavra, and that's why Rabbi Yavahu's din does not apply. The Bavli, though, did not give that answer. The Bavli had to come up with a Zeiris HaKasuv. Because the Bavli understands, must understand, that even though it's temporary, it could still be classified as an Isser Chefza. Even if it's temporary. That's the root machlokas, says the Arsameach, of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi understands that, they both understand, that Rabbi Yavahu's din only applies by an Isser Chefza, but the Yerushalmi says it's a temporary Isser, so it must only be an Isser Gavra. I can't eat it! But the fact that it changes, it can't be an Isser Chefza. The Bavli, though, holds, even though it's temporary, it's still classified as an Isser Chefza, and that's why you have to have a pasuk to tell me why it's Aser. So now, two more minutes, and we'll finish this section. Says the Arsameach, let's go back to the original Bavli and the Yerushalmi. With one added Ha'ara. Says the Arsameach, and again, I apologize for not reading it inside, but we have a lot to do. Says the Arsameach, the principle of Aseh Doche Lo Saseh only applies when you have like mitzvos. The Aseh and the Lo Saseh are the same type. They're both focused on the Gavra or both focused on the Chefza. If one is one and one is the other, you can't apply the principle. So says the Arsameach, the mitzvah of matzah is obviously an Isser Gavra. There's no mitzvah for this matzah to be eaten. There's something about this matzah that I have to consume it. No, the mitzvah on me. I have to eat matzah. The mitzvah of matzah is obviously an Isser Gavra. What about the Isser of Chadash? So we just said that's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi holds that what's Chadash? What type of Isser? What did we just say? It's temporary, therefore it's an Isser Gavra. That's why the Yerushalmi asked the Kasha. The mitzvah of matzah should be doche the losaseh of Chadash, because they're both Gavra. That's why the Yerushalmi asked the question and has to come up with an answer. Why didn't the Bavli ask the question? Well, we just said, because the Bavli holds that Chadash is an Isser Chefza. So the mitzvah of matzah, which is Gavra, cannot be doche the losaseh of Chadash, which is Chefza. Says the Arsameach, that's the root machlokas, why the Bavli didn't even answer the question, but that is a third approach to Tosfos' original question. So again, just to summarize this first part, Tosfos and Kiddushin ask why the mitzvah of matzah was not doche the los aseh of chadash, either aseh lefnei hadibur, number two, it is a gzera derabanan, number three, the pshat of the Arsameach, Isser Chefza and Isser Gavra. Now let us move to the machshava section of the shir. Just like this gavra and chefza in halacha, there's also gavra and chefza in life, in our challenges of being an Eved Hashem. On the one hand, we are gavras in our life. We play active roles in our life. We each have a unique shlichus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our life. The Gemara tells us in the Maseches Nida, which we're familiar with,
When a baby is born, after learning Kol HaTorah Kula in utero, you get a little pecha on the lip from the Malach. On the way out, says the Gemara, where it's underlined in source 16, V'kivin shabal avir ha'olam b'ha malach, the malach comes and hits him on the lip, he forgets all the Torah, ve'eino yote misham ad shemashbi'in oso. And we don't leave the womb until we take an oath, until we take a shvua, etc. What kind of shvua? Second to last line, tihi tzadik ba'al tihi rasha, v'yafil ba'olam kula omer l'cha tzadik ata, yiyev enetik ha'rasha, meaning, we're going to be an Eved Hashem. Says Rev Soloveitchik, and we're going to have a number of thoughts from Rev Soloveitchik in this section. Every time there is a shvua in the Torah, it reflects an acceptance of a shlichus, of a certain job to do, of a certain avoda to do. Source 17, Avraham is mashbia, his servant. Mashbia him, what is that shvua? It's an acceptance of a job. Get a wife for my son. Swear to me that you're going to do it, because this is a destiny that I need you to take upon yourself. The end of Sefer Bereishis. Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael Lamus. Yaakov tells Yosef Atzadik, swear to me, you're going to bury me in Eretz Canaan. A shvua reflects an acceptance of a shlichus, a minui shlichus. Says the Rav in Source 20, every Jew was sent to earth as an agent of the Creator. The shvua that we take going out of the womb is an acceptance of a shlichus. We each are a gavra. We each play an active part in our life. We must stand up and fulfill our shvua. In halacha, a person's role as agent disappears the moment the sender wishes to terminate the agent's status. A person exists on earth only as long as he pursues his mission. We each have a mission. We are each a gavra, says the Rav. Rav Kook also notes in his commentary on the Siddur, in a pasuk that we say, a phrase that we say at the end of Shmoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur, Elokai, see source 21, Achalonos Arti Inichadai. Before I was formed, we say Inichadai. I wasn't worthy. V'Yachshashonos Arti Kiyulonos Arti. And now that I was formed, I haven't been fulfilling my job. We say, says Rav Kook, it's deeper than that. Elokai. Before the moment in history that I was born into, says Rav Kook, I had no purpose. There was no reason for me to be born in the 1800s. I had no job in the time of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I was not supposed to be born then. I don't have a shlichus. I didn't have a destiny. I didn't have a job to fulfill. The moment before I was born. Every single one of us was born into a specific time period, into a specific situation to fulfill a shlichus. And we all took a shvua. And on Yom Kippur we say, we haven't been fulfilling totally our shlichus. Says Rav Kook, Lefnei Otsarti, Kol Osozman, Habilti Mugbal, Shemei Olam Achelon Otsarti, all the time in history before I was created, Vadin Ohaya Dabar Ba'olam Tritzarachli, I wasn't needed. Rabbi Akiva didn't need me. Akiva didn't need me, Rabbi Akiva didn't need me. Right? I wasn't supposed to be born even a moment beforehand. Shaloisi Kedai Ad Azlihi Baros, Vlohaya Botsarach, Kimlais Kazos, but right now. Kodesh Baruch Hu put me into this time period in 2009 to fill a shlichus. We all have a shlichus. And that's what we have to fulfill. And the Rav even adds, and you may see Karon in Source 22, the assumption of a shlichus is the ability to perform that shlichus. The Rambam writes, if I make a shliach to fly to the moon for me, right, he's not a shliach. Not a shliach. Just like a shvua. I make a shvua that I'm not going to sleep for 5 days straight. It's bata. It's null and void. You can't make a shvua for something that's impossible. The fact that we swear and that it's a valid shvua, an acceptance of shlichus, means it's all possible. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the kochas to fulfill our shlichus, to fulfill what we have to do. Adam nivra b'tur shliach, says the Rav in 22. We are all created as a shliach. Etzem Hayitzira, Haleda, Mechila, the fact that we were created, Mechila Batocha, has in it, Behechrich, as Varmini Shlichus. We all have a certain a job to fulfill. Skip a few lines. Hashgacha yodas hechan v'keitzad yachad afrata yachad al chisronosav.
He knows our chisronos. He knows the challenges that we have in life, personal, national, and he creates us anyway. And we take the shvua anyway, because we are all gavras. We all have abilities. We could all play active parts in our life. Rav Soloveitchik even noted a further point.
If you look at the psukim in Sefer Bereishis, which Rashi already notes, source 23, Vayisa Eina Vayar, Avram Avinu looks, V'neishlosh Anashim Yitzavim Olav, finally after being pained that he didn't have any guests, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Rahman is on him, and he sends him guests, he sends him Malachim, Vayar, Vayar is the Barsam, he runs to them, Vayishtachu Arza, and he bows down to the ground. Next source, Lot, when he is in Sodom, two angels come to Sodom at night, Lot sitting there, Lot sees them and runs to them, and he learned this from Avram Avinu, his great uncle. Wonderful, they both run. Chazal already note that by Avram Avinu, they're called Anashim, they're called men. By Lot, they're called Malach. They're called angels. Right? See the same ones, right? Remember we said the one that came to Abraham, one of them transferred and did another shlichus. So why is that? Why are they called men by Abraham and angels by Lot? So Rashi already notes this, source 25, Malachim ulhanlan karam anashim. What's the difference? Kishaisa shchina imam karam anashim. Okay, answer number one is when by Avraham Avinu, Akash Baruch was there. So, you know, the angels take second fiddle. The angels are lower down. If the Shechina is there, then they're not called Malachim, they're called Anashim. Dover Acher, or, Rashi says, Eitzel Avraham Shekoko Gadol, by Avraham Avinu, who has great strength, B'hayu HaMalachim Tadirin Etzlo, he always had Malachim there. Kanashim, Karim Anashim, they were always there. Avraham Avinu was great. So Malachim, they're Malachim above it? No, they're Anashim. Face alone. Oh, never had such wonderful royal guests. So they're called Malachim. Says Rav Soloveitchik, it's even deeper than that. Avram Avinu sees these people coming to her, and he sees their Malachim. What's the mahus of a Malach? What's a Malach all about? A Malach is about a shlichus. A Malach has a purpose. A Malach is created to fulfill a purpose. That's the whole
nature of a Malach.
Avram Avinu sees a Malach in front of him, and he says, that's a peer. I have a shlichus, and they have a shlichus. There's no difference between us. They have a lofty shlichus, and I have a lofty shlichus. They're called anashim, because in Avram's eyes, it's a peer. We both have a tachlis in life, a destiny to fulfill. Lot didn't have that message inside. Lot, what's a destiny? What's a shlichus? What's a job? That's a malach. That's an angel.
I'm not a Malach. Avraham Avinu says there's no difference between me and the Malach. We're both the same. I'm physical and they're not. But we're both Malachim of HaKadosh Baruch. Says the Rav in source 26.
Abraham lived his life as a true agent of God, totally dedicating himself to his assignment. Angels whose very being is similarly dedicated appeared to Abraham simply as peers, as men who did not seem extraordinary in any way. But in Sodom, a locale where man was completely self-centered, the concept of assignment was foreign. The presence of these strangers in Sodom created a sensation. Who are these people? Here was a group of strangers who lived not for themselves, but exclusively to fulfill a mission from God. Lot had never construed his life as God's agent, and the strangers therefore appeared to him otherworldly, angelic.
Avraham Avinu had a shlichus. Avraham Avinu was a gavra, just like a malach. He had something to perform. Rebbetzin Youngreis even notes this. We're going to quote 2 points from her in the next source. Every person has been created to make a difference. Every person has been shaped and molded by God for a special mission that only he or she can fulfill. And if we have lost sight of that mission, it is only because we no longer know how to identify. Every one of us is a gavra. Every one of us has a shlichus. Every one of us took a shvua years back, and we are in the middle of fulfilling our destiny. As even a Hasidic story, my father likes to quote it, but I have it here from the Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss in his Agada, in source 28.
Story from the Leib Simcha, the grandson of the Sfas Emes, son of the Imri Emes and the grandson of the Sfas Emes. Maisa Shahaya, Shapamachas Kimet Agasukis, Amar Marana Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes once got up on Sukis. Shakasher Omer Bahalo Ana Hashem. Efshar Lifos Advarman is going to be Yosef. When you say Ana Hashem on Sukis, amazing things can happen in Shemayim. Say Ana Hashem with Kabbalah, says the Sfas Emes. So all the Hasidim after the Rebbe went out, they're all arguing, which Ana Hashem did he mean? So some of them said, Ana Hashem Oshiyona! Ana Hashem Oshiyona, that's the one, Hashem save us! And the other group of Hasidim said, no, Ana Hashem Atzlichana! So my focus, which Ana Hashem did the Rebbe mean? So the Rebbe came back inside and he said, Rebbe, which one did you mean? And he said, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. Ana Hashem Ki Ani Atzlichana. Ana Hashem, I'm your servant, Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm your Eved. Because that's what our Mahus is. Our Mahus is to be an Eved. Our Mahus is to be a Malach. Our Mahus is to capitalize on our destiny. So yes, we are Gavris. But one other point related, and that is, not only is each of us a Gavra with a unique Shlichus, but in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of our Shlichios are equal in His eyes. Says the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, source 29, Margalot Pumayu Rabbanan Yavne. It was a pearl in the mouths of the rabbis of Yavne. Ani birya v'chadei birya. I'm a person. I'm created, and my friend is created. Right, Rashi knows. Ani, there's a Talmud Chacham talking. I, the rabbi, I'm a person, and my friend, the farmer, is also a birya. We're both created. Ani malachti ba'ir. I sit in the Beis Medrash, and I'm in the city. He works in the field. I get up early to give a shir and to sit and learn. And he gets up to his malacha. Just like he doesn't try to do my work, I try not to do his work. So we all have our own jobs. Lest you say that I have a greater shlichus. I'm on top. I am looked at as greater in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaninu, the Mishnah says. The end of Maseches Menachos. Echad amar v'echad amamit, u'bavache echad v'libo l'shamayim. It doesn't matter what the malacha is. We're all birias, we're all gavras, and in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all have a shlichus to fulfill. Yosef HaTzadik, in, where are we up to? 32. Yosef HaTzadik in Parshas Vayeshev tells over the dreams to his brothers. Vayachalom Yosef chalom vayagil v'achav. He tells over the dreams and they started hating him for it. And we know there were two dreams. Two dreams. First dream, Pasuk Zayin, Anachnu Ma'al Ma'alumim B'toch Hasad, did the bundles. My bundles stood up. Your bundles bowed down to me. V'tishtachven elu lamasi. V'yomer lo achav. What's the reaction? The brothers say to him, Yosef, who are you kidding? Hamalok tim loch aleinu. Moshotim shobanu, yuriyem melech, yuriyem moshel. And they hated him. Then Yosef tells the second dream. The Torah records, v'yachlem od chalom acher, v'yisab rozo le'achav, v'yomer yinei chalamti another chalom, the sun and the moon, the shemesh, the yareach le'kochavim. And then all of a sudden, Yaakov is there. V'yisab rozo le'achav, v'yigab rozo aviv, and his father starts screaming at him, Ma chalom azeh she'chalamta? The Torah does not record a reaction by Yaakov Avinu to the first dream. Only the second dream. So you might just say, he wasn't there. He didn't hear about it. Right? The Torah says, by Yisabar Lavim, only after the second dream. Where Soveitchik in that same article suggests that maybe Yaakov Avinu was only upset at the second dream and not the first dream. Why? What was the symbolism of each of the dreams? Says the Rav, Ka'amur al Chalom Arishon, 33, Chalom Echad Asar Shvilim Niskayim Avimilu'o, Chalom Zeis Yachis L'tchum Shel Otzma Kalkalit Medini. What did bundles symbolize? Financial position. Financial position. Yosef is saying, I'm going to get a higher financial position than you? That's acceptable. Yosef, after all, supported the entire world. To have a dream that somebody's going to be more financially successful than the next person, that's fine.
That's true. The brothers might not like it, but there's nothing to get angry about. But what was the second dream? The sun and the moon and the stars. That's already spiritual. That's already celestial spheres. That's about what the job, what our job in life is. Spiritually, no, no, don't say it. You're not above anybody. Everybody has their own tachlis. Everybody has their own shlichus. You want to be ahead and try, and that's fine. But don't say the sun and the moon and the stars, one's going to be ahead of another. Because I need birya, b'chaveri birya. We all have our own unique shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Turning over to the next page. Ulam b'chalom ha'sheni, ein shum negiyah b'tlus fizit. The second dream had nothing to do with the physical world. Kan b'chalom ha'sheni, ha'meduber b'nosei b'alovan ruchani. The inerach ha'shlichus, the value of the shlichus of the destiny of each individual. Yosef, you're no better than anybody else. Everyone's equal. So yes, we are all godless. We all have a shlichus, and they're all different, but they're all equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's even a story that Rebbetzin Youngreis relates in that same article that I quoted, that she read a brief news item in the New York Times about an Olympics for special children in Seattle. See, source 34. The story was about disabled children who competed in a race. When the whistle sounded, they started to run. Suddenly, one of the young boys fell, skinned his knee, and began to cry. When the others heard his cry, they stopped in their tracks, turned around, and went to his aid. One little girl who had Down syndrome bent down, kissed his knee, and said, "Here, this will make you feel better." The children helped the boy to his feet, linked hands, and ever so slowly, they walked as one across the finish line. We're all in a race to win for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're all walking hand in hand. No one's ahead of the other one. No one has a greater shlichus than the next. Ani birya v'chaveri birya. So we are all gavras in life. And yet, if we take a step back and think about it, we are also cheftzes. We are also objects. We find ourselves drowning sometimes in the sea of humanity. We are passive players in God's world. Though we are so much gavra, we are also cheftza. Says the Gemara in Baba Basra, in Source 35, the Gemara tells a story of Rabbi Bar Chana. Zimna chada havika azlina besvinta. Rabbi Bar Chana says he was one time on a boat. He sees an island. The boat breaks up, and he says, "Oh, there's an island there." So they get off the boat, they go to the island, they start setting up shop, they start building their huts, and all of a sudden they get hungry, so it's time for supper. So what do they? They start barbecuing. They start barbecuing. They make a fire. Sabrina Yabashi. They thought it was a dry land. The Salkinan Vafina Bashlin Agape, they start cooking, and all of a sudden the island starts shaking. And all of a sudden the island turns over. And they realize that it's a whale and not an island. And says Rabbi Bar Chana, if the boat wouldn't have been close, I wouldn't be around to tell the story. Sometimes we feel that we're on an island which is turning into a whale, and we have no control. And we are just pawns by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the great universe in which we find ourselves. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that we are objects, we are chefzes, and that's the attitude that we have to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah, or the losase of nekama. Source 36 says the Sefer HaChinuch, isn't revenge natural? Somebody punches me in the nose, I'm going to punch it back. What attitude, mentality could I have to try not to take nekama or feel nekama towards a person? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, in life we are both objects and subjects. We are subjects. You know, if I punch you in the face, I have a fear of chassid. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take me to task for it. I'm a subject. But says the Sefer HaChinuch, we are also objects. And everything that happens to me was supposed to happen to me. Called David Rachman Latav Avid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. But meet CD. What happens to me, I have no control over. And it was meant to happen. I'm going to take revenge. Or he's going to take revenge. He's just a clique from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm an object. I'm a chefza. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Bishar Shia Mitzvah. Sheyeda Adam Beitin Olivo. Ki Kol Asher Yikreo Mitovad Ra. Everything that happens to us as objects. That doesn't take away Bechir HaChashis from the other person. But me, as just receiving it, Husiba shetavoi la meisa b'shem barachu umiyad ha'adam yad ishachiv lo yedavar bilti ratzon Hashem barachu. We are objects. We find ourselves on an island turning into a whale. And everything that was supposed to happen to us happens to us. Yosef HaTzadik, even in Parshas Vayigash, when finally his brothers realize that he is Yosef, what does he say? Yosef says, come close to me. I'm not going to hurt you. Pasuk Hey, B'yata Ate Otsuva Yecha Ve'nechem. Don't be angry. Ki Mechartem Mosihena, that you sold me. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a divine plan in mind. Don't worry about it. I'm not upsetting you. It was all supposed to happen. Ask Rav Meir Tversky, what was Yosef doing here? He was just whitewashing the whole... You didn't do anything wrong. Don't worry about it. You're great tzaddikim. You didn't do anything wrong. What about Hasar Haruge Malchus? What do they don't do anything wrong? What's Yosef saying? Don't worry about it. No, explain Rabbi Tversky, no. As subjects, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them. Of course they did something wrong. As gavras. But Yosef said, from my point of view, as a chefza, it was out of my control. I know, it was all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. But, from my point of view, there's nothing to be angry at. And finally, Rav Soloveitchik wrote in Source 38, line 4, even the greatest of men cannot complete his shlichus. The dream can never be attained, the goal remains unrealized. He succumbs to failure, becomes chefza, helpless, impotent. Man ends each day as he must ultimately end his life as a sacrifice to God. Skipping, Moses had his greatest ascent, acting as Gavra in the purest sense, when he scaled Mount Nebo. Yet at the same time, Moshe knew exactly what was to take place on that summit. He would surrender himself to God. He would sanctify himself as a sacrifice, transforming himself into a chefza. So in life, we are gavras with a destiny, with the shvua that we take, all equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we are also chefzas. We are also objects. We also react to the situations that we are put in. There's a Kabbalistic line in the Ramban, in the next source, in Source 39, where it's unclear exactly what he means, but he compares a person's life and the shvua that they take to a shvua and a neder. Says the Ramban on the pasuk Vayipa Ba'afav Nishmas Chayim, on the top of the next page, he says, K'nishba b'chayi ha-melech, K'nishba b'melech atzmo, and K'neder. And we know that the Gemara tells us that a shvua is focused on the gavra, and a neder is focused on the chefza. We are both gavras and chefzas in life. This idea might even be reflected in two brachas that we say. We know there are three categories of brachas. Birchas HaNehenin, which we're not going to talk about now, a separate type of bracha, but two other kinds of brachas. Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a, praise and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a reaction, lightning, thunder, Asher Yatzar, Birchas HaMazon, and Birchas HaMitzvah, before we do a perform a mitzvah. Maybe one could suggest that when we're functioning as gavras, when we're about to do a mitzvah, trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say a bracha before we perform the mitzvah. We are active, we are fulfilling our shlichus. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. But at other times in life, we react to lightning, we react to seeing a rainbow, we react to the Brias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say a bracha of Shevach V'Hodah. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Osa Maaseh Breishis. One final thought. If this is true in general, our dichotomy in life as being a gavr and a chefza, maybe specifically in terms of geula, it is true. As we read the parshiyos of geula and Tu B'Shvat next week, which means Purim and Pesach is coming. Three questions. Question number one on yesterday's parsha. The pasuk says in the beginning of parshas Bo, Source 41, Yerushal Moshe, Bo El Paro, Ki Ani Echpati Yislibo, I will harden his heart. Many of the Persian ask, what do you mean Bo El Paro? Wait El Paro. Mean Bo, come to Paro. Go to Paro. Bo, like come? Mean come to Paro. Was Hashem there? Wait El Paro. Question one. Question two. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that when there are two Adars, Purim is in the second one. Purim's in the second Adar. There's another Tana that holds, no, the first one. Using the Lamizvus. We don't pass in that way. We paskin the second Adar. Why? Why is it so important that Purim in the second Adar? Right, says the Gemara, because you want to put
the two gulas close together. You want Purim and Pesach close to each other, mismach gula gula adif. You want to put it together. Why? Why is it so important to have the gulas close together? Have it spread out. Now, we always ask, we get so much food on Purim. Now, couldn't Purim be the month after Pesach or the month before Pesach? It's like you have so much food, you have to get rid of it. Right? So have 2 months in between. At least every couple years, you'll have an extra month. But no, we have Purim in the second. Why is it so important to have the two gulas close together? Question two. Question three. Beginning of Parsha Sefer Shmos, Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to convince Moshe Rabbeinu to come with him. V'gam hinei tzachas reso boi loi, I've heard cry, Yisrael's cry, v'yatol l'cha v'eshlacha, I'm going to send you to Paro, take the Jews out. And Moshe says, who am I? I don't want to go. Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. How was Moshe finally convinced? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally twist his arm and say, I'm going with you, it's going to be okay? Says the Ramban, a beautiful Ramban in Source 44, in Perek Beis of Shmos, when it comes to Geula specifically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the main player, the main force behind all of our Geulas. But he waits for man to take the first step. He waits for man to show that he's doing it. Once man takes the first step, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, leave it to me. You've got to be a Gavra for a first step. And then become Chefsis, and you'll just be a pawn, and I'm taking care of Geula. Says the Ramban, Ki b'tchila, line 2, 44. Ki b'tchila haya master pana mehem v'yalecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first hides his face. V'yata until Shama Elokim na'akasam v'ra'usam, they start crying to him. They start forcing his hand. Long martial history part of own mayhem. Okay, once you start doing something, then I'll come in. Skip a few lines. Second to last line. Ki afa pisha nishlam hazman shenigzar aleihem. Even though the time has been completed, it's time for geula. Lo hayu reuyim lihigael. I'm not going to redeem you until I hear your cries. I'm not going to redeem you until you take the first step. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. You think you're doing it? You're not doing it. You go down to Mitzrayim. You take the first step. You lead them. I'm with you. Bo el Paro. Come with me to Paro. You're not going on your own. You're not the Gavra, the main central force in this story. I am, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bo, imi. Bo, come with me to Paro. I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about it. Why is it so important for Purim and Pesach to be next to each other? On Purim, we have full clarity how the Geula took place. It was min hashamayim. But what happened first? Mordechai tells Esther. Esther's worried. Ahasuerus is not going to let me live. What's going to happen? Mordechai says in the last source, Vayomer Mordechai l'Hashem al Esther, Al tadami b'nafsheich lihimalei mibeis hamalach. Don't think you're getting out. Don't think you're escaping. Ki machareish tacharishi ve'es hazot. If you're silent, you don't want to be a gavra here. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get somebody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the geula. You're the pawn, Esther. And if you don't want to be the pawn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get somebody else to be the pawn. But we just got to take the first step. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. So specifically, in the story and any process of geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the main player. We have to take a little step as a gavra. But after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns us basically into chefzes. We are pawns, and we don't have a say in it. Lo al yidei malach, lo al yidei saraf. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodu v'atzma. So as we stand here reading the parshias of Parshas Bo, Parshas B'shalach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and we think about matzah, and we think, as the first half of the shiur discussed, whether the Isser Chadash, the Mitzvah Matzah, Isser Chefzah, Isser Gavra. Not only is that a halachic discussion in the Beis Medrash, but it really relates to our life as well. Each of us are gavras in our own way. We each have a shlichus to fulfill. We each took a shvua when we were born, tehi tzadik v'al tehi rasha. And we each have a beautiful, unique shlichus, which is equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani birya v'chaveri birya. We're all in it together. We all cross the finish line hand in hand. And at the same time, we are also chefzes. We realize sometimes that we are just objects. We react to situations. The island that we are on sometimes feel like a whale and the carpet is being pulled out from under us.
But that's how we react, like Yosef HaTzadik, Ki l'michya shlachani aleichem, I react and I accept. We make Birchas HaMitzvahs as Gavras, but we also make Birchas Shalach V'Hoda as Chafzes. And just as that is true in life, it is also true specifically in stories of Geula, the Parshis that we're reading, the Yomim Tovim that are coming up to us, and Bezrat Hashem, if we fulfill our Shlichus, like a Kaddish Baruch Hu promised, taking that first step as a Gavra, may He bring Yeshua's Benachamos to Klal Yisrael, and we should all meet again, B'mehar V'Yameinu in Yerushalayim. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rosner. We're going to start again in a few minutes. Rabbi Sachs's new Haggadah is on sale on the back table. They're $20 a piece. They just came out this past week. So please, if you'd like to purchase one, please let me know. They're available on the back table.
Yes, sir.
Okay.